I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is so good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. And I don't think I need to tell you, but you all know that we are coming to the last month of the year. And then the year 2015 will be over. You see, so quickly the year passes by. And indeed, in next to no time, the year 2016 will be over. Yes, you believe that? It will be over very soon, 2016, when we think that 2016 is the new year, but the new year will also soon be over. So, my dear friends, time is passing so very, very quickly. It flies past us so very quickly. Let us all be very, very prepared for the soon return of the Lord. We know that as each day passes, we are actually one day nearer the time of His soon return. So when He returns, friends, what are we going to say to Him? Will we be prepared to meet Him? Will we be prepared to be examined by Him? Would we be able to give a good account of ourselves when He returns? Now the subject this morning is the Christian's happy state. The Christian's happy state, and I speak from mainly 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 9, especially the last two verses, 8 and 9. Now, the world, of course, has its idea of happiness, many ideas, in fact. And I picked up one of the flippant ideas of the of happiness that the world has from a song. It was a pop song many years ago. I think it was a pop song. Yes, I can't remember whether I read you these words or not, but I think this morning is good for me to read these words for you, and you see how flippant and how nonsensical some of the ideas of happiness that the world has. Yes, let me read to you the words. Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry, you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. And then it goes on like this. Ooh, 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 ooh. I don't know what this ooh is, but it must be some music, I think. Don't worry. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Be happy. Ooh, 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 ooh. Don't worry. Be happy. And then the second verse goes like this. Ain't got no place to lay your head. Somebody came and took your bed. Don't worry. Be happy. The landlord say your rent is late. He may have to litigate. Don't worry. Ha, 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 ha. Yes. Be happy. Look at me. I'm happy. So you see how flippant, how nonsensical the idea of happiness the world has concerning happiness. Now, when people are persecuted for their belief, when they are suffering or when they are suffering from some incurable diseases, you try saying these words to them. Don't worry, be happy. Ooh, 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 ooh. In every life we have some trouble, but don't worry. But when you worry, you make it double. Don't worry, be happy, ooh, 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 and see whether they will be comforted or not. My dear friends, of course they are not going to be comforted. How nonsensical some of the ideas of happiness the world has. But friends, the kind of happiness we believers in the Lord Jesus Christ have is different. It is not shallow, it is not flippant, it is not mindless happiness. Like the kind of happiness the world thinks happiness is. But it is great rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the kind of happiness that we have. Great rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ. In whatever situations we may be in. We may be living in comfort. We may be living in health. Or we may be living in poverty. Or we may be suffering. We will still be able to rejoice. Because we are rejoicing in Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yes, our Lord Jesus Christ in His Sermon on the Mount says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. It is blessed, 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 blessed. Yes, all the time. And the word blessed means happy. Happy, 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 happy. The Lord knows exactly what we are in need of concerning happiness, because our Lord is in the happiness business. He's able to give happiness. Yes. So we believers in the Lord Jesus Christ ought to be a rejoicing people. Don't you think so? Yes, we should be a rejoicing people. But often we don't show that we are. What are we controlled by? We are controlled by the weather, controlled by the mood, controlled by circumstances. So when things seem to be going well with us, we all appear to be very joyous, appear to be very happy. But when we are going through some rough patches, we forget to give thanks unto the Lord. We forget to praise the Lord. Instead, what do? We murmur and we complain. But as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to be different from people in the world. We ought to be better than they. Because why? Because we should be in the state of happiness. In Jesus Christ, we should be in the state of happiness. So I'd like us to consider three things this morning. Number one, the state of happiness that we should be in as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And number two, how to get into this state of happiness if you are not already in this state of happiness. And number three, a foretaste of the full state of happiness. Now, we believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are not in the full state of happiness yet. We are not in the fullness of the state of happiness yet. We are only having a foretaste of it today. That will be my point number three. Now, I'd like us to look at these two verses, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Whom here refers to Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, in Jesus, though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now let us consider this happy state that we believers in the Lord Jesus Christ ought to be in. Peter says this, yes, you ought to be rejoicing with joy unspeakable and full of glory. The joy is joy unspeakable, and it is joy that is full of glory. I'll explain that in a little while's time. Now remember the rejoicing Peter was talking about. He was writing to, remember, the Christians who were scattered abroad in the Asia Minor. Yes, and they were suffering because of persecution. Peter told them to rejoice. Peter told them, rejoice in spite of the sufferings that you're going through. Now, Peter said to them, you should be able to rejoice. Why? Because, number one, God has commanded you to rejoice. Remember, we talked about that. God has commanded you to rejoice. And if God has given us a command to do anything, he will surely provide us the strength to do that thing. And so here, Peter said, rejoice. Yes, you ought to be rejoicing. Now, you ought to be rejoicing because God, who has commanded you to rejoice, will surely give you the strength to rejoice. And what strength was he talking about? He was, of course, talking about the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who believe in him would have his resurrection power. And with this resurrection power in the Lord Jesus Christ, of the Lord Jesus Christ, they ought to be able to rejoice. And Peter also said, you ought to be rejoicing, because the truth is you have this hope of seeing him someday face to face. You have this living hope. You're not living hopelessly. And then you should be able to rejoice when you realize that your sufferings on this earth, are really short and very short in duration and very light compared to the glory that you are going to receive. Because the glory that you are going to receive will not be something short, but it will be for all eternity. So you should be able to rejoice. And then Peter said that you should be able to rejoice, because when you realize that the purpose of your sufferings is actually that God wants to try your faith, so that patience will be produced in you. And with that patience, your faith will mature, and then with your maturity, you will be able to run your Christian race successfully. So rejoice, Peter told them. Now here Peter today gives them another reason for them to rejoice when they were suffering. Now the Christian should be rejoicing when he's suffering, because why? Even though he's suffering, why? Because he is in love with his Savior. He is in love with his Savior. That is why he should be able to rejoice. Now, have you ever seen a person who is in love? He is utterly happy and utterly joyous. And those of us who have fallen in love would understand, well, how it feels to be in love. Yes, it is a very, very joyous and very, very happy state that you would be in if you have fallen in love. The question is, are we in love with this Savior of ours, Jesus Christ? Is he the lover of our soul? Do we really love him? Now, of course, before our conversion, we were like people in the world. We didn't love Jesus. We saw no beauty in him that we should desire him, and where we despise him. You say, no, I never despise him. But the truth is, you showed that you despise him by despising Christ-like qualities, such as meekness and gentleness and temperance. You say to yourself, oh, with temperance, with meekness, with gentleness, I'm not going to get anywhere in the world. I must be very aggressive. I must be very assertive. Then I'll get someplace. Then I'll be going to places. And so we despise Christ-like qualities. Why? Because we really didn't love him. Now, my friends, if we do not love the Lord Jesus Christ, listen carefully. If we do not love him, we are really in terrible misery. Because, my dear friends, even though you could appear to be very happy-go-lucky today, but really you are in a state of misery. Listen to what the Word of God says. I'd like us to turn very quickly back to this verse, 1 Corinthians 16:22. But keep your finger at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Now, some of the verses in the Word of God we seldom pay attention to, but let's pay attention to this verse. See if what happens to you or what state you are really in if you do not love the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 22. All right, let me read that verse to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 22. All right, maybe we should read this verse together. Ready, go. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha. You know what that means? If any man loves not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. Yes, let him be delivered up to the final judgment of God. Let him be delivered up to the wrath of God when he returns, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. My dear friends, if the person has this thing that is definitely coming, this thing that is impending, yes, to be delivered up to the wrath of God, surely he must be in a very, very miserable state. He is in. He may not realize it, but he is really in that miserable state. Now, friends, if we are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we claim to be true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we must really love the Lord Jesus Christ. We really must love him. And if we love him, then we will not be in that miserable state. But we will be a very, very joyous people. Yes, a very joyous people. If we love him, all our sacrifices that we make for him will not be regarded as sacrifices at all. Sometimes we might feel that we have given up a lot for the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, don't we feel that sometimes we've given a lot up for the Lord Jesus Christ. For example, we might feel that we have given up a lot because we have given up a job, a good job, for the cause of the gospel. Or we have given up a hobby that we love very much, a sports that we love to play very much. Or we could have given up a girlfriend or boyfriend who does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for the sake of the gospel. So we feel that we have given up a lot. But friends, if we love him, we will not think of anything that we have given up as a sacrifice. We will be very, very glad to give them all up for him. We'll be so very, very thankful to him that he should be willing to accept our love for him, which is so very meager compared to his great and his sacrificial love for us. My dear friends, when we give things up for him, we'll be rejoicing because we will not feel that we have given up those for him. We'll be very, very glad that he accepts our love for him. And indeed, if we are in love with him, our sacrifices will not be seen as sacrifices. Remember how Jacob served his uncle Laban. uncle Laban for 7 long years for the hand of this lady whom he loved very much, the daughter of uncle Laban, Rachel. Yes, he loved Rachel very much. So he was very prepared to serve 7 long years for her hand. It was hard labor serving Uncle Laban because Uncle Laban exploited him and made life miserable for him. But friends, he did not regard his labor as hard labor, but he regarded it as a labor of love. And in Genesis chapter 29, verse 20, we have this beautiful record for us. It says here, "And Jacob served 7 years, he served Uncle Laban. Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and it seemed unto him but a few days." Why? Because of the love that he had to her. You see, he was in love. He loved this lady so much that all the hard labor was no hard labor at all. My dear friends, if we truly love our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, all our so-called hard labor will not be regarded as hard labor. We will think of it as a labor of love. Yes, and if we love our Savior, we will show forth our joy of being in love with Him. True, if you love Him, you will surely show forth your joy of being in love with Him. Every duty that we perform for Him will be done very, very cheerfully. We regard every duty as being light. We do it cheerfully. Yes, we do it with a purpose, because we want to glorify Him, because we want to express our love for Him. So when I prepare my Sunday school lesson, it will not be a chore. Yes, I'm very, very glad to prepare my Sunday school lesson. Why? Because I love the Lord. That's why I want to prepare my Sunday school lesson well. And then when I am called upon to prepare a Bible study, I will do my very, very best. I will not regard it as a heavy burden. Yes, it's hard going, no doubt, but it will not be a burden for me to prepare my Bible study, because I'm in love with my Savior. I want to do it for Him. And when I go to church, come to church here to do some physical work for the Lord, I will not grumble, I will not complain. Yes, I will do it gladly because I'm in love with my Savior. I want to do it for Him. Yes, every service will be done cheerfully for Him. Why? Because I love Him. That's the reason. And if we are in love with our Savior, my dear friends, we will bear our sufferings with joy. Our afflictions will be felt, as we said early on, as light, not heavy. Yes, and they will not be regarded as something that is very lengthy. We will regard them as something that our afflictions will be regarded as something momentary compared to the eternal glory that we are going to receive in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we are in love with our Savior, my dear friends, the day comes when we will be walking through the valley of the shadow of death. My dear friends, on that day, we will not be groaning and mourning. I tell you, on that day, we will be rejoicing also, because we know that the Lord with us. The lover of our soul is with us. The one whom we love is with us. Yes, I remember one brother in the Lord Jesus Christ who knew that the time of his death was near. He was going home to be with the Lord. Of course, he was sad that he was going to go, because he was going to leave his family behind. But at the same time, he was very joyous, because he knew that soon he would be seeing the lover of his soul, Jesus Christ, face to face. And so he said to the congregation members, I remember he saying this, "Please don't call my death a departure, but rather call it homegoing. Don't make it a sad event, make it a happy event," he said. I remember he's giving that testimony, and he said so very cheerfully. Now, my dear friends, if we love Him, we are able to rejoice, because in Christ, we have the hope of seeing Him face to face. We have this hope. Verse 8 says, "Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom though now you see Him not, yet believing, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." True, we do not see Him now. But friends, we have the hope of seeing Him now. And then with this thought that we have this hope of seeing Him now, every day, my dear friends, we will be able to rejoice because we have this hope. I remember this Filipino teacher friend that I met years ago. He was teaching in a village that was quite some distance away from his home. And because transportation in that region was not good, he could not commute to work every day. And so he had to stay in the village during the weekdays, and he could only go home to see his wife during the weekend. I tell you, Monday was a very, very low point of his life every week. The lowest point in his life was a Monday of every week. But as the weekend approached, his spirit would become more and more uplifted. You know why? Because he knew that the hope of seeing his wife would soon be fulfilled. So he was very glad, he was very happy. Yes. Now, my dear friends, the question for all of us is, are we rejoicing as we ought to be rejoicing? Do you know that as each day passes, as we always said, we are one day nearer the time of seeing our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, face to face? Yes, do we realize that? Now, if we are not rejoicing, I said we must be rejoicing as true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we are not rejoicing, could it be because we do not love Him? If you are in love, you ought to be rejoicing, but maybe you do not love Him, and so you do not have this hope of seeing Him face to face, and therefore you are not rejoicing. Now, if we do not have this hope of seeing Him face to face, we are in a most hopeless situation, because life beyond the life on this earth, we are not going to have any hope. But friends, understand this truth. It is not only hopelessness that we will be looking forward to. It's not hopelessness. It's worse than that, my dear friends. It's not hopelessness. What we will have to look forward to is not hopelessness, but what we will have to look forward to will be hell and eternal punishment if we do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and if we do not love Him. But friends, you need not be in that state of misery. You can come out of it and enter into the state of happiness by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, by believing in Him. And that's what I want to talk about later on. Next, we are able to rejoice because the one whom we love, remember, it is Jesus who we are in love with. The one whom we love enables us to have this wonderful access to God's wonderful throne of grace. You see, this lover of our soul is also our high priest. How wonderful. We love him because he's our high priest. He's our high priest. And Hebrews chapter 4 verses 15 and 16 say, For we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto God's throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. To Him, to this lover of our soul, the one whom we love, also we may come boldly unto God's throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, how could we be rejoicing? How could we not be rejoicing, my dear friends? Ask ourselves, how could we not be rejoicing when we can boldly enter into the secret of the presence of the one true living God? You know, you are given this wonderful special privilege through the lover of your soul. How can you not be rejoicing if you have this privilege of entering into the secret of the presence of the one true living God? You see, when we are sad, we can enter into the secret of the presence of the one true living God and come away rejoicing. Then in times of trouble, we can enter into the secret of the presence of the one true living God, even God's wonderful throne of grace, and come away rejoicing because we had spread our problems before Him, before the throne of grace, and we know that our Lord is well able to handle every of our problems. And then when we are burdened with a heavy load, we can come into God's holy presence. Yes, and come away rejoicing because we know that we are able to cast all our cares upon Him, for He cares for us. And then when we are burdened with the guilt of sin, we can enter into the secret of His presence to have our sins cleansed away by His precious blood and come away cleansed. Yes, how wonderful it is that we have this privilege. And then we enter into His presence through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, weak and weary, But we come away strengthened. We enter into His presence discouraged, depressed, but we come away uplifted. Thank the Lord, my dear friends. Thank the Lord. We are able to rejoice because the one whom we love makes it possible for us to come into God's holy presence. He has given us this wonderful, special privilege. My dear friends, should we not be loving Him? Should we not be rejoicing in Him if we have this wonderful privilege? Friends, we ought to be jumping for joy. I have this privilege. I have the privilege of entering into the holy presence of the Lord because the lover of my soul has made it possible for me to do so. Now the next question is, how much should we be rejoicing in Him in this happy state that we are in? How much should we be rejoicing? Look at verse 8. In whom though now ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Friends, we ought to be rejoicing with joy unspeakable. That is how much we should be rejoicing. Rejoicing with joy unspeakable. And that is joy that cannot be fully declared. That's what is meant by unspeakable. It cannot be fully declared. Now, what great joys have we experienced in our lives? Maybe we have experienced the joy of our wedding day. Remember, when we got married, it was a very, very joyous day. So we experienced that joy. Or we might have experienced the joy of the arrival of our first baby. Very happy, very joyous. Or we might experience the joy of passing our exams. Yes, when we didn't expect to pass, but we passed. When we passed with flying colors. So there was great rejoicing. Or it could be the joy that we experienced could be that we heard this wonderful news from our doctor. Our doctor told us, oh, you do not have cancer. When in the first instance, all the tests showed that we had cancer, but the doctor said, I've got good news for you. You are not suffering from cancer. Surely we'll be jumping for joy. But dear friends, whatever joys that we may have on this earth, no matter how great the joys may be, they're all short-lived. Yes, in time they will pass away. You store all the memories of this joy in our memory bank. But one day our memory is going to go. And when our memory goes, all the joys will also go. But the joy that we are talking about will not go away. It is joy that is unspeakable. It is joy that cannot be fully declared. It is too great to be declared because it is joy that is not limited by time. Unspeakable joy. It's joy for all eternity and it's not limited by time. You have it today, you'll continue to have it. In fact, you'll be having more of it as time goes on. Into eternity, you'll be having this great and everlasting joy. It is joy without end. That is why it is joy unspeakable. Then it is also joy full of glory. We say, how much joy should we be having, you know? How much should we be rejoicing in the Lord? We are talking about the great joys that we would have, yes, that we should be rejoicing with. Now, the joy is this joy that we are going to have is a joy that is full of glory. It is glorified joy. It is joy that is glorified by the Lord. Now, today we look at the sun. You know, the Lord has given glory to the sun, and so the sun is very, very glorious. But friends, this glory of the sun, you know, one day will pass away also. No matter how great it is, it will pass away one day. One day the Lord is going to bring in His new heaven and new earth, and the sun is going to pass away along with all the old heaven and the old heavens and the old earth. When they pass away, the sun will also pass away. But dear friends, this joy that we are having in the Lord will not pass away. It is glorified joy. Joy full of glory. Now it's hard, it's impossible for us to explain in words, but what we do know is that this joy will not be tainted by tears, not tainted by death, not tainted by sorrows, not tainted by sadness. It will not be tainted by pain. My dear friends, it will be glorified joy. Wonderful, pure joy given by the Lord that lasts for all eternity. That is the kind of joy that has been given to us. So when we are rejoicing, we are talking about this kind of joy that we ought to be rejoicing with in greater degree as years go by. So friends, are we rejoicing in the Lord? I ask you again, are we rejoicing in the Lord? Now, frankly, I don't think we are rejoicing in him as we ought to. You know, our life is so bland, isn't it true? Our Christian life is so subnormal. We think that it's a normal Christian life. No, my dear friends, it is not a normal Christian life. If it is a normal Christian life, it should be a life of great rejoicing. Yes, we should be filled with joy unspeakable. We should be filled with joy that is full of glory. Joy should be written on our face all the time, my dear friends. If we are truly normal Christians, joy should be written on our face. We should be rejoicing in the Lord every day. Now the next question is, how may we get into this state of happiness? All right, this is a wonderful state. How may we get into this state of wonderful happiness? Now, if you are not a believer yet, my dear friends, you are not in this state. We enter into this state of happiness by faith, by faith. Now, did the Christians that Peter wrote to ever see the Lord? They actually never saw the Lord. You know that? In fact, Peter said it twice. In verse 8, Peter said, "Whom having not seen, you have not seen him. Though now you see him not, you have not seen him." So Peter said it twice, that these Christians that he wrote to actually never saw the Lord. Yet they believe in him. Ah, you see, that was how they entered into the state of happiness. They entered into it by faith. Now, there were those who saw him physically. In fact, they were blessed by the miracles that he performed. Yet, they never believed in him. You take, for example, the 5,000 that were fed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Many actually, they came, they were fed. The Lord Jesus Christ multiplied the 5 loaves and 2 fishes to feed the 5,000. They were fed. But did they actually believe in him? I dare say many of them did not. What they wanted to do, what they wanted to have when they came back to the Lord Jesus Christ was for this Messiah to feed them physically. They wanted their stomachs to be fed. That's all. So when the Lord Jesus said, "I'm the bread of life, you have to believe in me. You have to feed on this spiritual bread to have everlasting life." Were they interested? No. They were only interested to be fed physically, but not spiritually. And you know, there is this sad record given for us in John chapter 6, verse 66. I read for you this sad record. "From that time, many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him." Walked no more with him. No. Many of the 5,000 actually had no love for him. And so, never rejoiced in him, despite the fact that they were blessed with the blessings of experiencing his miracles. Now, if they loved him and had rejoiced in him, surely they would continue walking with him and would be very, very thankful to him every day. In fact, some of the people who hated him most were those who saw him and those who saw his miracles. I refer to the scribes and Pharisees. The scribes and Pharisees hated him. In fact, they ascribed his power of performing miracles to the prince of the devils, to Beelzebub. Yes, and finally, they crucified him. They hated him so much, they crucified him. Friends, let us not say, "Oh, wait till the day I see a miracle performed by his power, then I will come to believe in him. Wait till the day to come, then I will love him. And then wait till the day, then I will rejoice in him." No, my dear friends, the truth is you do not enter into the state of happiness by sight. You enter into this state of happiness by faith, not by sight. So what ought you to do? Come and trust Jesus as Lord and Savior if you are still outside his kingdom. Repent, come and trust in him. Ask for his precious blood to cleanse you of all sins. And then, my dear friends, you will have entered into this state of happiness if you really mean what you say when you ask him to come into your heart. Now, today, the state of happiness that we are in as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ is not full-blown yet. It's really not full-blown state of happiness yet. What we may be experiencing today is actually a foretaste of that full-blown state of happiness. And that's what we want to talk about next. The foretaste of the full-blown state of happiness. Verse 9 says, "Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." You know, our faith has an end. Today we exercise faith. But one day our faith will come to an end. You see, when what we believe in becomes reality, then our faith comes to an end. So right now, we apply faith to receive what we will attain in the future when we see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. But one day, what we see through eyes of faith will become a reality. On that day, our faith comes to an end, at which time our salvation will be complete. Of course, we have salvation today, but on that day, our salvation will be complete. Our Lord will put on us a body like glorious body like that of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will be in the state of full-blown happiness. Peter says to the Christians who are suffering from persecution, he says, receiving the end of your faith. He actually was saying this, right now you are receiving the end of your faith. He was alluding to the prize that a victorious competitor would be receiving in those days. Yes, you're receiving that prize, the end of your faith. Now, the word is receiving. In other words, it is a continuous tense. It continues. The action is a continuous action. Daily, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are progressively receiving the end of the faith. Every day, progressively, we are receiving the end of the faith, which will be completed the day we see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. And friends, you know the glorious truth is that from the day we started to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we started to receive the end of our faith. We didn't receive it in fullness yet, but we started to receive the end of our faith. These actions are continuous, and one day when we see Him face to face, yes, our faith will come to an end. Now, it is erroneous to think that it is only after we pass away that we will be receiving our salvation. No, that's not true. That's false. Yes, we started receiving our salvation the day we came to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. You see, the day we came to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit came and dwelt in us. The Word of God says that He is the earnest of our salvation. You know what's meant by the earnest of our salvation? He's the pledge of our salvation. He's the deposit of our salvation. Today you go to the departmental store, you might want to buy an article maybe that costs $1,000, but you don't have so much money along with you. You've only got $100 in your pocket. And you say, all right, I'll pay a deposit. This is my pledge that I'll buy this article. So you put your $100 there. That's your deposit and that's your pledge. But that pledge is good because soon, the other sum of the money, the rest of the $900 will be coming to pay off for the full price of the article so that you can have possession of that article. My dear friends, the Holy Spirit is God's pledge of our salvation. He's the earnest of our salvation. Yes, the Word of God tells us very, very clearly so. And I read for you Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 to 14. I read for you these two verses. In whom he also trusted, in Jesus he also trusted. After that he heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that he believed, he was sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Ah, I come to this part. Which is the earnest of your inheritance. Jesus is the earnest, the foretaste, the pledge of your inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. He is the earnest of our inheritance, the earnest of our salvation. Yes, and so we don't actually have to wait till the day when our faith comes to an end to enjoy our salvation. No, we don't have to do that. Today we can start enjoying because the Holy Spirit is the foretaste of that salvation that will come in fullness in the future. But today, the Holy Spirit is the foretaste of that which will come in full in the future. Now the question is, do you have the Holy Spirit in you? Do you? Now, if you have Him, yes, you will have Him in your heart if you have trusted the Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior. The day you came to trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior, our Savior will come into our heart in the person of God's Holy Spirit. He is our Comforter, and He is the one who produces love in us so that we will be able to love the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, and He is the one who produces joy in us. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit produces the fruit of the Spirit. And joy is part of the fruit of the Spirit. Love is also part of the fruit of the Spirit. So He comes into us. He produces love in us so that we will be able to love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then when we love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we will be expressing our love for Him with great joy, right? And who gives us the joy? It is the Holy Spirit who produces joy in us. Friends, we would surely have entered into the blessed state of loving the Lord and rejoicing in Him if we have the Holy Spirit in us and the Holy Spirit is controlling us. So, let me ask you again, do you have Christian happiness? I'm talking to all of you now. Do you have Christian happiness? You will have it, friends, if you love the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have fallen in love with Him, you will surely have Christian happiness. You will have entered into the state of happiness. And if you love Him, my dear friends, all that you do for Him will not be regarded as a sacrifice at all. It will not be a great burden to you because you love Him. And because you love Him, all that you do for Him will be done very, very joyfully. You will regard all that you do for Him as a labor of love. And if we love Him, my dear friends, we will also be able to rejoice in our sufferings. Yes, in life, of course, we'll go through sufferings. Yes, we'll experience trials and tribulations in our life, but we'll be able to rejoice if we love Him. And if we love Him, friends, even if we are walking through the valley of the shadow of death, we will still be able to rejoice because the lover of our soul is with us as we walk through that valley. And as believers, we are in a happy state because Jesus, whom we love, gives us a living hope. Yes, because we have this hope, we are able to rejoice. If you don't have this hope, you will not be able to rejoice. And we are able to rejoice, my dear friends, because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has given us the privilege of entering into God's holy presence. He has given us that wonderful privilege to come boldly before God's throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And the joy that we have in this state, friends, is joy that is unspeakable. It is joy that is glorified by the Lord Himself. Unspeakable in the sense that it cannot be fully declared. It is joy that will last for eternity. Yes, and is glorified joy. And it is a joy that will not be tainted by death, by sorrows, by pain, by crying, yes, by sicknesses. No, that kind of joy that we will have in the future is something that is so great and so wonderful. We will not have all these bad things to taint the joy that we are going to have in the future. Now the question is, how may we be in this state? By faith, not by sight. If you want to enter into this state, yes, you may do so. By faith, trust in Jesus, repent from your sins, ask for His precious blood to cleanse you of all sins, and you will enter into this state. And then, right now, my dear friends, we have not tasted the fullness of this state of happiness yet. One day it will come in fullness, but today we can have a foretaste of it. And who gives us this foretaste? God's Holy Spirit. If He dwells in us, we will have a foretaste of the fullness of happiness. Yes, so friends, are you in the state of happiness yet? If you are not in it, why don't you come today? It is something that is not difficult to do. Something that you are able to do, if you are willing to do, you will be able to enter into this state. Come and trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. Yes, ask for His precious blood to cleanse you of all sins. Repent from your sins. Receive Him into your heart. And you will surely enter into this state of happiness. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You, O Lord God, for this wonderful privilege that You have given to us, of saving us out of darkness into Your marvelous light, and enabling us to enter into this wonderful state of happiness. We thank You that today, although we may not be experiencing the fullness of the state of happiness, but Lord, We know that today we can experience the foretaste of it because of the Holy Spirit who has come to dwell in us. Lord, we know that if we truly love you, we will be rejoicing. And if we are not rejoicing, it is because we do not love you enough. Lord, we pray that you will help us, that we may love you even with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we know that if we love you, we'll be rejoicing. All the things that we do in life for you will surely be done with great joy and with great cheerfulness. Father, we pray that we may show forth true Christian joy in our relationship with all those whom we come into contact with, so that all those who see us may also want to enter into this state of happiness that we are in today. We pray and ask all this in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.